Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Luck and Load. This is Steve Dace. The Steve Dace Show.
And greetings. Well, that's a little crooked. Happy, what is it, Tuesday? Yes, happy Tuesday to all of you. Welcome to the Steve Dace Show, live and on demand here on Blaze TV, radio, and podcast. Steve Dace here with Aaron McIntyre, Todd Erzin. And all of you, thank you for hopping on board. That was a little crooked too. Everything's a little crooked here so far this morning. Let us know what you think about what we think via the SteveDace.com inbox. You can email the show, steve at SteveDace.com. That's D-E-A-C-E. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Steve Dace Show. And if you are anti-censorship, which you should be, look for us instead on places like MeWe, Parler, and Gab, and get clips of the show that you watch for free later on at rumble.com/Steve Dace Show. And yes, I share all of your daily laments and email frustrations with the slower than molasses upload and encode times than that they have over at Rumble. Put it this way, I run faster than they upload clips of this show at Rumble. Is that bad?
I don't, you might have some game on that front.
It's
I don't
want
to undersell you.
Well, you know, we dwarfs are sprinters.
I was about to go there.
Were you? Yeah. It's bad. That's bad. But I guess that's the price for no censorship, I guess. All right. So rumble.com/Steve Dace Show is where you can get to, where you can go to get unfiltered and uncensored clips of the program. All right. Coming up here today. Oh, don't forget as well, D-E-A-C-E. Again, that's how to spell the last name. Coming up today, we're going to get an update on vaccine data from the one and only Alex Berenson. He will be joining us here at the bottom of this hour for a segment you do not want to miss. I've had a handful of you. That's like the third word I could not pronounce already today. We're 2.5 minutes into the show. Three things were crooked and I can't talk. We're off to a great start. Guys, your thoughts?
Maybe running is your thing.
Then if that's my thing, we're all doomed here. How are you? Yes. So I've had like half dozen of people of you email me in the last just day looking for vaccine data about going pushing back on your place of work or your kid's school. And I think my answer to all of you has included just look at the last 3 weeks of posts on Alex Berenson's Twitter feed. All right. And so we'll give you a summation of those things in real time coming up here at the bottom of this hour. Next hour, we will continue as we wind it down. We've got two chapters left to go for our series during Fake News or Not, looking at our best-selling book, Fauci and Bargain, the most powerful and dangerous bureaucrat in American history. And then we will have Pop Culture Tuesday, and we will look at the latest release from the MCU, Black Widow. We'll give it a review, and then as spoiler-free as we possibly can, if you have not seen it yet, and then also talk about where we think the MCU is going, because I frankly do not know. I have no clue where this is going, and I'm getting to the conclusion it may not be going anywhere. They're not sure ultimately where it's going yet, and they just want to expand it into different areas and introduce different characters, and that's okay too. And so maybe we should recalibrate our expectations along those lines. So we'll get into all of that and more coming your way. But we begin, as we always do, with Aaron's rundown of what happened while we were away.
What happened while we were away, brought to you by Apparently, that's the strategy for Texas Democrats as they broke quorum yesterday, ran away from the state house, got on a charter airplane, and flew to Washington, D.C. in order to stop the GOP members in Texas from having enough lawmakers in attendance during a special session to pass a bill that would strengthen voter laws in the state. As you can see from this pristine photograph of the Texas Democrats on their charter flight, none of them are wearing masks. At the White House, Press Secretary Jen Psaki says voter ID laws are
the worst challenge to our democracy since the Civil War.
And now an update from David French's America.
The baby has been able to latch, but I've not been able to produce any milk. It's okay because we're going to supplement the feeding with formula so that my baby's still getting the nutrients that they need, but I'm still feeling hopeful.
I appreciate you so much for all your work.
And I appreciate you also, baby. I'm gonna die without you.
A lot of conflict going on inside of me right now.
There's a part of me that sees this pregnancy as like masculine. It's like very much for me not a feminine feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You just left the hospital right now.
Yeah, so they totally thought Petrona was the pregnant one and not me. It didn't even speak to me. And it just felt like
they just made assumptions, making an assumption from the very beginning without even asking our names, not asking a thing about us.
I'm the one that's waking up every hour having to pee and like phones have been throwing up and like going through all this crap.
The thought that I exist with a baby inside me never crossed their mind. Put yourself in my shoes, like how would that make you feel? DC is forcing me to label myself as the mother, and that's not the case. Petrona is the mother.
Trans women can be mothers.
In case you lost track there, these are two individuals from Washington, D.C. named Petrona and Moderna. One is a dude pretending to be a woman, and the other is a woman pretending to be a dude. The one who is a biological dude is upset because, aside from not being able to produce breast milk for the baby in question, Washington, D.C. is forcing the biological mother to register as the child's mother, even though the biological mother identifies as the child's father, and the child's biological father identifies as the mother. In case you thought woke teachers were bad, listen to this. Writing in the Journal of Medical Ethics last month, bioethics professor Maura Priest said, quote, "Taking LGBT patient testimony seriously also means that parents should lose veto power over most transition-related pediatric care," end quote. This weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia, city officials tore down not only the statue of Robert E. Lee, but also the statue of Lewis and Clark, because racism or something. Dispatches from across the pond, a London, UK library has apologized for holding an event to encourage children to read during which an actor dressed in a bare-bottomed monkey costume with a fake penis. Learning Chinese today, today's phrase is rainbow dildo butt monkeys are a blessing of liberty. The country of France has fined Google nearly $600 million over the use of publishers' content under European Union copyright rules. The company faces additional fines of up to $1 million per day if it doesn't comply within the next 2 months. The issue stems from how Google compensates news organizations within France for use of their content. Back stateside, the Food and Drug Administration is adding a warning on the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine related to an autoimmune condition called Guillain-Barré syndrome, which attacks the nervous system of those afflicted. Over the weekend, Arkansas Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson had this to say about the Biden administration's plans to send vaccine cultists door to door.
There's nothing dramatic about what the president said in itself. No one wants an agent knocking on a door, but we do want those that do not have access otherwise to make sure they know about and have the information. We want to have our churches involved. We want to have our communities, organizations, and if it means going into a community door by door and letting them know of this, then that's okay.
And finally, Branch Covidian Logic.
Hey, have you noticed that influenza has all but disappeared? Well, what do you expect? We've been wearing a mask for the last year and a half. So why is COVID still spreading? Look, because COVID's different. Yeah, but it's transmitted in exactly the same way. It's airborne. It's more contagious. I get that. So are you saying that masks only work for flu, but not COVID? No, masks work for COVID too. So why is COVID still spreading then? Because a lot of people don't wear masks. So why has flu stopped spreading then? Because you're a conspiracy theorist and don't understand science.
And that's what happened while we were away.
Aaron's montage brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. They got some big news recently. They're going to be the official sponsor of the Olympic track and field team. So if we cannot get the Erzin family to consume Built Bars now in a few years when Ainsley is a part of this team, maybe we'll go ahead and turn you guys into customers. What do you think?
I like it.
You like that? All right. That's a goal. That's an aim to shoot for. And if you haven't tried Built Bar yet, you're really missing out. They know that flavor and nutrition doesn't have to be a choice. It's not either or, but and also you've got the occasional limited time flavor. Make sure when you get a message on that, you take advantage, like the grasshopper cookie flavor. I ordered myself an extra box of those because they are that good, especially the next time they come out with chocolate chip cookie dough or coconut brownie chunk. Those two flavors are insanely good. The rest, pretty darn good too. Coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, all of them covered in real chocolate. You're looking at 18, up to 18 grams of protein per bar. Even the most decadent flavors don't give you more than 170 calories. Most of their bars are 130 calories or less. 4 to 8 grams, net grams of carbs or sugar. You can't beat that, folks. And if you want to try it right now, get 15% off of your order when you go to Built, B-U-I-L-T, built.com, 15% off of your order for the best protein bar of all time. When you use the promo code DACE, D-E-A-C-E, D-E-A-C-E at built.com. Again, that is built.com. Coming up today in the overtime, a former U.S. attorney under the Trump administration has released a letter that he sent the former president, specifically making the allegation that he and his department directly reported voting irregularities in Pennsylvania to then Attorney General Bill Barr and were ignored or were told to ignore those voting irregularities. But hey, it's okay. Because a lot of you watching and listening to a show like this over the years have helped make millionaires out of people who told you chit, like, well, Bill Barr paid the bagpipes. He's a badass. He played the bagpipe. That drink of water he took once on pull my pants up to my nip-nips, dude. Wow, that's just a total badass. So you guys love that content. I mean, that's what most of the content is in my feed, so there must be a market for it somewhere. I mean, the stuff we do places like on this show or others on platforms like this just stick out in a sore thumb compared to the rest of our so-called media peers. Fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this must be what y'all love. Give me some of that crack. Some of that meth. They get strung out on that. So it was cool. Bill Barr played the bagpipes once and you gave somebody, a half a million Twitter followers for sharing that shit with you. That's great. Great. Meanwhile, he just knifed you every which way he possibly could for the last year and a half and is still the gift that keeps on taking. So we will discuss that today in the overtime at blazetv.com/dace. Again, that is blazetv.com/dace. Let's get to what was in Aaron's montage. And allow me to take a contrarian view.
Not allowed. You've never done that before.
Well, and I know it's
breaking
just
some new ground here, yes, Copernicus.
Indeed. Thank you. Appreciate that. I want to see more. And if you want to save this country, you should agree with what I'm about to point out. I want more dildo butt monkeys. Rainbow dildo butt monkeys. My bad. Okay. Because we all know they come in various flavors. So I would like more rainbow dildo butt monkeys. I would like more of, and I got lost. I couldn't follow this one family's genealogy. And there's just three of them. All right. Who's the mom? Who's the dad who became the dad and was the mom? I don't know. I do know, though, I want more. More. I want more of Democrats in red states just walking out of legislative sessions when they don't get their way. Flaunting FAA administrative rules on masks that the rest of us still have to suffer through. I want more. More of it. I want all the cray-cray. I want it all. I want them to do this stuff like stack the courts. I want them to do it all. All of it. Let the freak flag fly. Don't just do what we did in the Trump years, where we just tweeted stuff to provide content for conservative media to feed you for money that you got stoned, drunk, and strung out on, but didn't actually draw the body count it was claimed to. They're kind of doing that right now. They're just doing it for Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow. Did you see the court proceeding the other day that they said in court that Rachel Maddow's audience assumes that what she is telling them is often not truthful information, but slanted. Did you see that?
No.
It was kind of the Rachel Maddow version of that Alex Jones plea when he put in the affidavit for his custody case that my audience knows that a lot of this is just for show. Okay. No, I don't want bioethics professors just writing this stuff in medical journals. I want them to do it to you. All of it. Get busy living or get busy dying. There aren't any lukewarm hells in politics. Jesus vomits, spews in disgust and disdain lukewarm from his own mouth. I mean, we were just talking a few weeks ago at the level of local activism we have seen amongst our people across the country in just like the last month or two, right?
Right.
Right? Is it because our people just decided, you know, I should prioritize this more and take time out of my busy schedule and other leisurely pursuits to do so? Is that what happened? No, it's not what happened. What happened is they started stepping on your throat. I want them to press harder, full throat, let it all hang out, bring it all out. Because I think that's the only way. That is the only way. And we need them to do it this year, frankly, because Republicans are going to have a very good year next year. It's just a matter of how good. And then they will not do a damn thing in 2023 once they're in office, because it'll be all the same people still in charge. Nothing will happen, at least not in Washington. Nothing will. It'll be just a replay of the post-Tea Party era. We just sit around and wait for how long before Republicans just negotiate with themselves because we can't set the government down. Okay. Everything will just be done by executive order anyway. Haven't we seen this play before? We've watched this movie, right?
Yes.
Think Cocaine Mitch has a new line to snort? Or is he could probably just bust out the hits, probably.
This is what you talked me away from excitement when I came in this morning talking about Texas and arresting legislators. And
there's a far better chance that entire episode has been game planned out by both sides to provide each of their bases the theater that they each desire, then they will actually be ever arrested at any point in time. Far better chance.
We will repeal rainbow dildo mutt butt monkey
root and branch. We'll take the branch out of his root if we have to. Yes. 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 No. It's clear with very, very limited exception. Trump attorney Jenna Ellis has apparently just discovered the RNC is bad. With very, very limited exception, this party is worthless and has been. So we actually need to be egged on negatively. We respond to negative reinforcement. And guess what, guys? I come to you today, if you've not already felt it, I now bring you glad tidings of great joy. Negative reinforcement is one of my special gifts. It's one of my spiritual gifts, in fact. My kids tell me I'm very good at negative reinforcement. Okay? We don't respond to positive reinforcement. We don't. So what we need is we need them to go as nuts and as far as possible in like this next year before Republicans then capitalize on it on the ballot box and we all go into a slumber and everything is just simply about whether Trump goes ahead and runs again in 2024 and not about anything else while they still run the country and do whatever they want to us. We need them to do this all to us now. So that we will see more Loudoun County, Virginias. So instead of getting a half a dozen emails I don't have time to respond to asking me how do I push back on vaccine mandates, I'm getting 100. We need them to go all in, all the way. No decorum. Have a sitting president sit 5 feet from the stage and have America's arguably largest, most powerful network, ESPN, just not acknowledge him while it acknowledges someone who did a guest star on some Nickelodeon show in 95 instead. More of that. More. Pile on the insults. Shovel more dirt in our faces, whip it out, urinate right in our mouths, and tell us it's raining. Because we have proven anything short of that, we will look to slap condoms on societal collapse in order to make it safer. In the hopes that we may slow it down. No, man. Nah. Cut that thing off. It's violating me. Somebody told me recently I make too much crude sexual imagery in order to make very explicit and blatant points. Here's how I respond to complaints like that. This morning, I actually went into my Bible and searched for Hebrew and Greek words translated as harlot or whore. I found 88 of them. I found 88 instances where the Word of God uses that explicit language to describe us. So I'm in very good company. Grow a set. No, no, no. No, 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 no. Go all the way. Do it all. All of it. Because anything short, and we won't do what is necessary to stop it. We won't. I've used this analogy before. You know, I've talked at times about some of the terrible things that happened to me growing up, but I learned a lot of great lessons too. And there were times that Dave was actually a great dad. That's what kind of made it even more problematic. He could be a great dad and then a terrible one, literally a terror. And he taught me a very valuable lesson that I have imparted many, many times in the years ever since. The reason there was so much bravery at the Alamo is there wasn't a back door. If there was a way out, they'd have counted the numbers and said, I don't know, man, I kind of feel like we should take the Santa Ana guy on when there's better odds. That'd be the smart play, sure. Right? But there wasn't a back door, so they had to stand their ground. Okay? If we find any back door, anything, 2024, 2022, any back door. Oh, my school district's gay. Any back door. My congressman's not on the take. Any back door. Any ejection. We're out. And I'm sympathetic to it. It's not our religion. It is theirs. We got lives. They don't. We have real families. They have to manufacture theirs. I get it. Totally. Totally get it. I understand we come at this with certain disadvantages. One of the major disadvantages we have is there's a lot more of us than them. So we have a tendency to just kind of look around at one another and say, hey, which one of us is going to do something here? You know what I mean? No. No. Cut the brakes out of the Democrat pace car. Cut the brake line. Don't let it. It can't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. Don't let it stop. all the way. I want a rainbow dildo butt monkey at every library in America. Every single one. Because that's how we'll make sure they're not at any of them ever again. Ronald Reagan once famously said, a recession is when your neighbor doesn't have a job. A depression is when you don't have one. Along the same lines, boy, it was real terrible what the Japs were doing to the Chi-Coms out there in the 30s. Terrible. Anyway, off to work I go. But it's downright tragic when they come and do it on your soil, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Bring the pain. Bring it. Bring the thunder. We've got the numbers. As the great prophet, let's reverse what the great prophet Jim Morrison once said. We've got the guns and the numbers. Just way too complacent. So please, by all means, rub our noses in it. Try to force these injections on us physically. Please. Please. Because this passive-aggressive, soccer-style of politics, where we don't ever score or try to pull it out in a shootout, and every time we beat the defender to the ball, we're offsides, and if anybody bumps elbows, some little dainty ref comes up with his Austrian rules football semantics, and here's your yellow card. Hell no. I want the NFL. And not this wokeified version. I'm talking John Facenda narrating NFL with the sweat coming off Lyle Alzado's white afro as the steam pours off. Dick Butkus wipes blood from you off his jersey. And during timeouts, Ken Stabler is so worked out, dude's got to get a drag from a lung dart. That's what we need. But it's made very clear. When we continue to purchase content like Bill Barr played the bagpipes. When we continue to consume that, it's very clear we won't get there on our own. We're going to need dragged there. So I hope they grab us by the hair and try it tight and hard. Because then we'll respond in kind with the level of response that is deserved. Any thoughts on that pep talk, guys? What do you think? I came in a good mood this morning.
I'm struck that if you showed Aaron's montage, went back in time and showed it to the Americans on the street of 10 years ago, not even knowing if they were Republicans or Democrats, your average American, the response most of them would have given, this is like Loki, where Loki sees his future in the new Loki show, and it's just transforming for him. Most of those people would have been like the people on the subway in the, World War II Churchill movie when they're—
Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour. Yes. And like, we'd fight him in the streets.
Yep.
You would have said that.
Yep.
And now it's here.
Yep.
And you do what Steve says all the time. I don't know. I got a pair of white walls on the other line. Folks.
Great analogy.
Folks. They're going to slash your white walls, even if you buy them. They promise you.
Guys, they're telling— the spokeswoman for the White House said yesterday, showing ID to vote is the worst assault on democracy since the Civil War. There will be no sharing or coexisting. This is a steel cage match. One person's walking out and the other isn't. That's it. That's all there is anymore. One ideology's coming out of that cage. The other is not. That's it.
The enemies, the invaders of antiquity, by and large, sought to destroy their enemies by destroying them. Progressivism, I believe, is different in that its chief aim, of course, is power. They don't want to kill you. They want to enslave you. We don't have time for trinkets like Bill Barr. When your enemy is trying to enslave you, they don't have any power over you when you're dead. They want to enslave you.
Here on the Steve Dace Show, you know, parents, listen up. You are obviously concerned, as you should be, about what your kids are being taught in government schools, and you may be looking for options. If I can't make the necessary changes within my own district, do I have options to get my kids out of this level of indoctrination? One of the best ones. And the answer is yes. And one of the best ones, our friends at Freedom Project Academy. I can't give them a better endorsement than I allowed them to teach my own son, Noah, for a couple of years. I also know Dr. Duke Pesta, who helped to establish Freedom Project Academy. So these are good people. Your kids are going to get a classical curriculum that's built on Judeo-Christian values. That is about mastery of subject matter, not propaganda. This is about being taught how to think, not what to think. Critical thinking is encouraged and is nurtured here, as opposed to let's do inculcation to turn your kid into a nice little groveling, conforming statist when they grow up. If you want to get more information about this, there are free information packets available now. We're sitting here in mid-July. You might be looking at what are your education options for the fall. Go to freedomforschool.com. Again, this is where you want to go, freedomforschool.com. So where are we at?
I think we have Alex.
Do we have
His
Alex?
Video is not working, apparently.
As usual, I think this happened last time.
It's all right. We don't need the video. We can go without. Alex, can you hear me okay? It's Steve Dace.
I can hear you and I can see you.
All right, perfect. Let's start from the top, Alex. It's always good to have you with us here on the program. I mean, you have been, a vital instrument for the last year and a half, brother, and very, very much appreciated for all the work you have done. Let's go to the vaccines and the latest data that you've collected both domestically and globally.
Sure.
Two questions. Are the vaccines effective, number one? And are they safe, number two?
Those are complicated questions, and I'm not saying that to try to dodge you. They really are complicated questions. Early on, they didn't appear to be effective at all in older people. What you saw was deaths actually rising a lot in the countries that had mass vaccination campaigns early, notably the UK and Israel. You also saw a lot of deaths in the US in January. Now, it's very complicated because this is a seasonal virus, and it's not surprising that deaths would have risen in the winter. But you were seeing deaths in people who had just been vaccinated. So that was January. Then sort of March through May, things looked very good, actually, in Israel and the UK, especially also in the US. Deaths dropped almost to zero. Cases fell very rapidly. And there was a lot of chest thumping among vaccine advocates. Hey, these did exactly what we said they were going to do. We're all going to get back to normal now. That's great. Look at, the clinical trial data has been borne out. And now suddenly in June and July, there's been a huge spike in cases in those early vaccine countries. Now, what's interesting is there hasn't been a huge spike in deaths. There's been a rise in deaths and there's been a rise in hospitalizations. And as to why there hasn't been a huge spike in cases yet, in deaths or hospitalizations yet, and whether we will see that, we don't know yet. But I would say that, believe it or not, the jury is still out on how well the vaccines work and how long they work. And there's several, danger signs. Arguably, the biggest danger sign of all is that the vaccine companies, that Pfizer and Moderna, are talking about needing boosters. We're not even 6 months in to most people having gotten their first dose. For many people, it's 3 or 4 months. And they're talking about needing boosters, which is really unheard of for any other vaccine. The flu vaccine is a little different because you get a vaccine against a different strain of the flu virus every year. And by the way, the flu vaccine is much less dangerous than the COVID vaccine. So let's talk side effects. On side effects, I would say the picture is clearer. These are these have serious side effects, and a lot of people who get them, for the most part, you know, the side effects are short term. But there are some people out there who have serious heart inflammation, especially younger people. And it looks like if you're young and healthy, your risks, for example, of heart inflammation are significant. They're not, you know, they're not 1 in 10 or 1 in 100 or even necessarily 1 in 1,000. But your risk of dying from COVID if you're young and healthy is, you know, is extremely low. So the side effect picture is not great. And I'd say it's gotten worse over time. And the questions about efficacy are only growing. And the questions about length of efficacy. I mean, you know what I hear from so many people who have questions about the vaccines, and I would say the two questions that are the best questions to me, and you know, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I, you know, people when they want me to write about graphene oxide or magnets or 5G or any of this stuff, there's no evidence of any of that. Okay, there's no evidence that the vaccines are going to cause mass death in people. Let's be clear, this is a question about whether a drug, because these vaccines really are, they have more in common with the traditional drugs in some ways than a traditional vaccine. Makes sense for a sort of a population-wide campaign. So the two questions that I get the most are, why are they pushing this vaccine on kids and young adults, even if it is effective? Because we know those kids are at, you know, very, 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 I can't really throw in enough varies, low risk. And why are they pushing it on me if I'm somebody who got COVID, mm-hmm. who knows I got COVID, who had a positive COVID test, who recovered from it, and who has antibodies? And why are they telling me to get the vaccine in that case? And those are really good questions. And I don't have good answers for those questions. And my suspicion is, and I guess what I would say my hope is that the reason they're doing that is because once you start telling people, well, there's an exemption for this group or there's an exemption for this group, it gets harder and harder to convince other people to get the vaccine. So they just decided, we're going to give this to everybody. We're going to push this on everybody, even if that scientifically doesn't make sense, it sociologically makes sense. The problem is that when you do stuff that scientifically doesn't make sense and you tell people we're relying on science, they start to not believe anything you say.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That last part that you just pointed out. So we've got Fauci out there saying that 99% of deaths in the country right now are people that are unvaccinated. Let's assume this is one of the rare times he's not committing some sin of omission or commission in his statements, and that this is factually accurate, okay?
Right.
For just the sake of argument.
Okay, I don't think it is, but go on.
And neither do I, okay? But I'm going to grant his point in order to make my own. Okay. If you run the numbers, there's 329 million people right now living in the United States, okay? Through the month of July, so far in the month of July, we are averaging about 230 daily deaths with COVID in America with the old coding program. They still haven't updated or changed. And to put that in perspective, about 90 Americans die a day in a car crash, 1,800 die a day from heart disease, the number one killer in the country perennially. If you run those numbers, and we don't weight them at all, Alex, for age, comorbidity, lifestyle, previous natural infection you recovered from, no factors at all. We don't put any weighted factors in them at all. We just do one paint-by-numbers, ham-fisted approach on this, like you just said they're doing with the vaccination program in and of itself. You come up with 0.0000, that's four zeros, 0.00007% odds that you as an American will die today with COVID. Given that, because we don't know, you and I can't sit here and tell people that we don't know, we still don't know the true origins of the virus. So we can't sit here and say if there's any potential that it's manufactured on any level or was altered on any level. We don't know what the long-term risks are of even an asymptomatic infection. But we also don't know the long-term effects of injecting these substances into your body either. And so herein lies the conundrum, right? This is the quandary. We're kind of looking at each other on both sides of this like Yogi Berra. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. We don't know which one to take. So, but given those odds, 0.00007 are my current odds of dying today with COVID. Why make the case for why I would risk this injection for that?
Sure. So here's what I would say. you know, if 80,000 people a year are dying from COVID, which is what, you know, 230 people a day would be, you know, over the course of a year, and that's preventable, you know, with a vaccine that has no side effects or almost no side effects, and you're only going to have to get it once or twice, and, you know, then you're good going forward. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we do that? Mm-hmm. You know, if the vaccines work as well as promised, why wouldn't we encourage everybody to take them? And, you know, and we mandate children to or essentially mandate children to take vaccines for childhood illnesses because we think, you know, we don't want them passing measles to each other or getting stuff or, you know, or getting sick and dying from diseases that we know we can control. If COVID is in that category, we should have people take it. That'd be the argument. And it's just, you know, the people who don't understand this are being selfish.
Except none of their data verifies that case, though, does it, Alex?
That's right. I mean, that's why the numbers really matter. And that's why, you know, and that's why I spend, you know, so much time looking at the data because...
Like, I had a natural infection. I don't see a lot of data what the risk is for me. No one, they don't even want to ask the question, what's the risk of putting that spike protein right back in my system when I already have the antibodies for it? My mom, who has like no immune system in her 60s, I recommended that she go get vaccinated and take her chances with that over COVID because she was one of the Americans that actually got hospitalized with H1N1 10 years ago. So, but go ahead.
That's right. No, I think you're right. I think it's interesting. Fauci came after me, right? You know, so he, because of what I said at CPAC, and I used the word, you know, I said the government is trying to sucker 90% of Americans into taking the vaccine. That was an inartful way to phrase this. What the truth is that there's a group of people for whom, like your mom, like my mom, older people, for whom the risk benefit looks pretty good on the vaccine, okay? Even if it's not 100% effective, even if there are some side effects for those people, probably they'd be better off taking it than not taking it. And then there's a group of people, younger people, for whom there appears to be almost no benefit to getting this vaccine because they're at such low risk from COVID. And why should we encourage them to take this? What is the benefit to them of doing this? And if we're going to tell them to do it, we should be honest with them. We're doing it. We want you to do it because we think maybe that will protect older people, even though there's no real evidence that that's going to happen either. We just want you to do this. And then there's a group of people in the middle, like you and me, who might have had COVID or who might consider themselves to be sort of, you know, middle-aged and in pretty good health. And for those people, this should be an individual decision also, because I might say, you know what, I ran a marathon a few years ago. I think I'm going to beat this if I get it, if I haven't already gotten it. And you might say, well, you know what, I think I would like to get the vaccine because I think the long term, I'm worried about long COVID. I'm not as worried about a vaccine. You know, I trust the FDA. Those decisions are fine. They are personal decisions. What is not okay is to have Tony Fauci trying to shove this down everybody's throat and for him to attack you or attack me for saying stuff that he doesn't like. And that's why, you know, I now have this Substack, this unreported truth Substack that people can sign up for free, or they can subscribe. Either way, they're going to get most of the same stuff where they can see what I'm saying directly, because I can't trust, you know, MSNBC or CNN or anybody else to accurately portray my views on this. I can't even trust, you know, Tony Fauci to accurately portray my views. I have to have a direct channel to people. And, you know, and so that's what I now have. And even if Twitter, you know, Twitter's been pretty good about me, I have to say, if they cut me off, I'm going to be able to reach people. And that's important to me.
Quickly, how can people get access to that, Alex, if they want? Because I'm getting a ton of questions and I'm often referring them to you, frankly.
Sure. So you can see my Twitter feed. That's at Alex Berenson, or my Substack. And Substack is essentially, it's just a newsletter site. It's called Substack.com. My Substack is just my name, Alex Berenson. It's inside the Substack feed. There's actually a number of sort of conservative and independent journalists who've gone to Substack for this reason. Matt Taibbi's in there. Glenn Greenwald's in there. Barry Weiss is in there. More and more of us are trying to get direct connections to readers so that we are not dependent on, you know, on Twitter or Amazon or Facebook.
All right, Alex, this has to be quick. I've only got 30 seconds, okay? How do you explain the UK, which reached about 85% of its people with at least one jab, I think back on June 3rd or on the 1st of June, You ran some numbers on their hospitalization Sunday. They had 176% increase of COVID hospitalizations on from where they were July 11th of last year. Cases in the country overall have gone up like 600% since June. How do you explain that?
I think that's really good evidence that the vaccine-generated immunity is not lasting. I mean, we don't have proof yet. The companies and the FDA and the CDC should be doing transparent research on whether people's antibodies are fading, how quickly they're fading, what that might mean if they do have T cell immunity. But when you look at the population level data, you are seeing what appears to be widespread vaccine failure, and that's why they're talking about these boosters. Hmm.
Great stuff, Alex. Thanks for joining us, brother. Appreciate it as always.
One of these days, I'm going to get my camera working.
It's all right. All right. We'll be prepared with more B-roll next time just in case. Thanks, man.
Thank
Take care.
You, sir. Be good.
All right. Gentlemen, thoughts?
Once again, just the grown-up in the room. The way he has been demonized as some sort of a crazy person out there. Mm-hmm. He's just a real old-fashioned reporter. That's all he is. And a pox on all your houses who have tried to say otherwise.
Again, I repeat, if there is just transparency, just and some, dare I say, humility,
yes,
about this entire
Don't those two
vaccine,
things kind of go together?
Yes, yeah. Transparency and humility about all of this, all of us guys, we would be a lot more understanding. I think so anyway.
Yes,
there would still be some who were just very, very skeptical, but we would be a lot more understanding if there was just some humility and transparency, but there is none of that. And so I don't even know. So we're left with questioning everything, because instead of the message being, you know what, this is more going to be a therapeutic, but we think it can help you. We're left with get over yourself, take the bleeping vaccine, and
you're a red state of troglodyte. They're even politicizing it now.
Exactly, because with the exception of the Johnson & Johnson and then the AstraZeneca vaccines, which there was just another warning the FDA put on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine the other day. We know the number of countries that are not allowing the AstraZeneca vaccine, at least for certain age groups. Those are part of the more traditional vaccines. The Pfizer, Moderna, those are mRNA, so those are different. How are they different? We're not allowed to even ask those questions. They work. They work. They work. Get it. Get over yourself and
take it, surf.
Exactly.
Yes. Shut your hole. Know your role. Get the jab or you're a fool.
No.
No. What I am is I'm a damned American. And I don't respond, at least kindly, to that kind of branding. More in a moment. Back with Hour 2, live and on demand here on Blaze TV, radio, and podcast. I'm Steve Dace. Aaron McIntyre, Todd Erzin here with me as always, as are you. Let us know what you think about what we think via the SteveDace.com inbox, which you can access by either emailing the show, steve@stevedace.com. That's DEACE. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @SteveDaceShow. Look for me as well on MeWe, Parler, and Gab. And if you're looking for clips of the program that are uncensored and unfiltered, yes, but will also test your patience in terms of the upload time. So that's the best of both worlds, right? I mean, you get both an ethical, moral booster shot. You learn a lesson in patience by waiting for Rumble to upload the show. But then once it does, you get the payoff of no censorship. Like you could go to that other big streaming platform, right? And it uploads a lot faster, right? Mm-hmm. But you might get half a clip of this show every day after all the censorship kicks in, right?
Right.
So this is a little bit, we're learning about the perseverance of the Saints here via Rumble. We should, in fact,
Delayed gratification.
Yes,
as well.
I was Bill's grousing character. About them in the first hour. I should, on second thought, realize they're teaching us a lesson in adulting. The trade-off for the slower upload and encode times at Rumble is we get total freedom, right? There's a certain adult lesson we're being taught there.
Sure.
So maybe I was looking at that wrong last hour. Rumble.com/Steve Dace Show is where you can mature adult more, get more patience, and then avoid censorship. All in one. That's actually a pretty nice package they have going over there on Second Thought. All right. Rumble.com/Steve Dace Show. That's where you can get free clips of the show. If you listen to the podcast, we would appreciate it if you have not yet done these things. You know what? Even if you have, maybe it's like the vaccine. If you've already had COVID, get it anyway. I mean, just keep doing it. I don't know. Maybe you can. You know what? We need a 5-star review booster shot. So you gave us a 5-star review a few months ago. We need another one now. Fair? Okay. Fair. All right. So whether you have given us one or want to give us another one, please keep those 5-star reviews coming, as well as the subscribe or follow button. Click on that on your podcast platform of choice. And thanks to all of you that have done those things for us already. You have done your part to help us continue to grow this program. To the dismay of many, and most of that dismay, frankly, is probably deserved. All right, coming up here at the bottom of the hour, we're going to get into Pop Culture Tuesday. We're going to talk about Black Widow. We'll give as spoiler-free of a review as we can, although the film is highly anticlimactic, so I don't...
What is there to spoil?
I don't even know what there is to spoil. The character's already dead, you know? So, but we'll do our best not to spoil much of anything that really isn't worthy of being spoiled in the movie anyway. We'll get into that and where we think the MCU is or is not going, coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Fake News or Not, brought to you by our friends over at My Patriot Supply. Are you ready for the next big crisis out there? And who knows what it is? Right? We're seeing unrest in Cuba. You're seeing unrest in South Africa. And now we're talking about hyperinflation. What did I read today? Last month was the worst we've seen in any month in the country since 2008, yeah. Leading up to the, what did I tell you? I saw a couple of months ago, I was concerned. I'm seeing a lot of the same signs of what happened when we had a market meltdown, a lending meltdown at the end of 2008. Right. It seems like we're kind of heading down that exact same road again. All right. Make sure you're prepared. And who knows? It could not even be something man-made we do to ourselves. It's just, you know, a natural disaster. So whatever happens, make sure you're prepared ahead of time. You get emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the nation's original Patriot preparedness company. Food that stays fresh for up to 25 years if properly stored, so that you don't have to worry about going hungry or standing in food lines. My Patriot Company is a company you can trust. 13 years of experience, over 41,000 4 and 5-star reviews from satisfied customers all over the country. And right now you can get 25% off of their popular 4-week food kit that gives you 2,000 plus calories a day, what you need to sustain you for up to 4 weeks in the result of something calamitous happening. Go to preparewithdace.com, preparewithdace.com, and make sure you're ready for in case you have to be ready. Preparewithdace.com. Again, 25% off at preparewithdace.com. Well, we've got 2 weeks left in this series we've been doing on Fake News or Not, looking back on our best-selling book, Fauci and Bargain, the most powerful and dangerous bureaucrat in American history. I don't think you had a chance to see this yet, Todd. I did Jason Whitlock's show Fearless yesterday, and I came on to discuss the piece I had written for The Blaze over the weekend about Fox News and are they going to stand by Tucker Carlson now that he's going to war against the NSA and everything else. And we got into an overall, you know, big picture conversation about the state of alternative / conservative media. And at the end, he asked me an interesting question I thought that I did not see coming. He asked me if I thought our book had influenced Tucker's willingness or capability to use his far larger platform to go pretty hard at COVID Stan and Dr. Fauci. And he said the reason he asked me that is because as someone who watches Tucker's monologue and show almost every single night, that's Jason talking, he thinks the answer to that question is yes. And my answer was, first of all, that's very kind. And we would love it if someone with a bigger, we didn't write the book so that the information would just stay in and amongst us.
Right.
we didn't do this show every day and put everything out on social media for the last year and a half just to keep it amongst ourselves. I mean, we all are doing broadcasting. We're trying to stop this from happening to the country. And dude, it's phenomenal. People with bigger platforms than us want to pick up the baton and say, hey, man, let's amplify what you're trying to do in my own way. Because in our own way, that's what we did. And I mentioned some names on Jason's show yesterday. I pointed out, hey, we've got more footnotes in this book than pages, which means we used other people's work more than we worked on this ourselves. And whether it's, and I name dropped Rational Ground, our buddy Jordan Schachtel, guys like Alex Berenson. I mean, these are all people we have a bigger platform than. And yet their work was instrumental in helping us with our own or formulating much of our own at the exact same time. So just as we used our platform that's bigger than theirs to amplify what the work that they had done, I mean, I'd be beyond honored if we found out at some point in the future that the guy swinging the biggest stick in all of conservative media right now used some of our own.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
That's what we did in this book. Right?
I'm convinced there was a period there where I watched Tucker's show. It's been a couple months, but I did try to watch it regularly because the tour de force it came to be. And I'm convinced not just the book, but our entire show. There's somebody working over there. Just the language that is used. It's of course we're talking about the same things, but I firmly believe that somebody's got their eye on what we're doing. And for that, I say amen.
Amen. I would love it if we found out they did with us what we did with Jordan and Alex and all the people at Rational Ground. Just who's the married couple in Florida? Is it the Cabreras? Is that their last name?
Oh, yeah.
Who just did a lot of this independently on their own, right? And were just invaluable. Those kinds of people were invaluable in helping us to do even better what we were going to try to do anyway. So if we found out later on that some of our work got into the upper echelon, just as we took some other people's work into ours, I mean, that's to me, that's how an ecosystem is supposed to work around here.
There's too much work to be done for us to be doing it all on our own. I mean, that's why my Twitter feed, I have my takes too, but I try to use it as a mini Drudge Report of what the Drudge
as
Report used to be.
Yep.
You guys need to get a lot of information these days as quickly as possible. And that's what I try to provide.
So we have two chapters left to look at with Fauci and Bargan. This week, we're looking at which chapter?
Branch Covidian Cult.
One of the, I think it's arguably the most important chapter in the entire book. As we move forward as a people, because you watched, I think, a template form here that is going to be emulated on issues across the board from this time forward. And so let's talk about it.
And listen, especially with the montage and what we just heard from Alex and heck, what we were talking about off air, Steve, I've had a lot of fun doing these chapters, asking some silly questions or getting at points in silly ways. No, I'm in a mood and I'm deadly serious with this one. We need a what are you prepared to do diagnostic about this word cult. Because as we've been talking about, it's tranny madness that goes on. It's this, even though it's dying in some ways, it's growing in other ways. The cult keeps coming in new versions, and we need to, it's not just a word we use for rhetorical flair.
That's right.
What is it? What are we doing?
We quantified it this way on purpose because we believed it would be replicated on issues across the board going forward. So what's the next big fight after lockdowns and masks? So the next big fight is the vaccination fight. We're going to go door to door. Okay. You're a terrible person if you don't say, we're not going to like make an objective case. Look at the way that we were talking about this during the break. Look at the way they message on the vaccines. Anthony Fauci doesn't come out and say, hey, listen, okay, I understand that we just had a contentious election. I understand we're in a political atmosphere. My job's to rise above all of that. And I'm just interested in public health. And I don't care who you voted for or how many times you voted or how you voted last year. I'm trying to stop COVID from wreaking havoc in our society. That's my job. And I think there's some misconceptions out there about these vaccines. I don't want to see this get politicized. So let me address a few of them. Is that what we're seeing?
No,
he goes on he goes on very partisan outlets. These are red states. You know, you've politicized this. All the language is authoritarian in nature because cults are authoritarian. How dare you not sign up for the groupthink? How dare you think for yourself? How dare you ask contrarian questions? You're the one that's letting us all down. That's the same kind of language that is being used here, and it's going to be used in the future on virtually every debate that we want to have.
Yes, it is, Steve. So fake news or not, throughout human history, our species has typically been prone to ignore potentially cataclysmic events in favor of comfort and carrying on with our daily lives. However, for perhaps the first time, a segment of the American population is bound and determined to turn COVID-19 into the apocalyptic event it never was.
This morning, that's absolutely true news. This morning, I'm, you know, you guys know my routine by now. When I'm not doing this for a living or getting prepped, if I'm listening to something outside of work, for wind down, it's usually something church related or sports related, right? So I'm at the gym today and I'm listening to a sports podcast. And the guest on the podcast is one of the biggest college football writers in the country, Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. And Dennis Dodd is openly admitting on this pod that this is the first time he's been out of his home in 15 months. That he went to kind of a college football mucky muck gathering in Phoenix back in May, and then he's going to SEC Media Days here in a couple of weeks. And he goes, I'm frankly at this point, I just need to see people. And I wanted to get like philosophically disdainful at this. You know what I'm saying? But on a human level, my heart just broke for this guy, regardless of what his ideology is or his belief system is, and I'm guessing it's opposite of ours. You know, he's still made in the image of God, man. Jesus came to set the captives free. This guy, highly educated, highly intelligent, is captive to his fear.
How old is he? Just so
I would guess he's somewhere in his 50s, I would guess. And maybe there's a story I don't know. Maybe he's pre-diabetic or something. You would think you'd mention something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. And so this is a guy whose life has been traveling around the country to cover the main game in college football every week, and he's done it most of our lives as fans. Like all of Aaron's life, he's been around. Okay. You would think the natural human inclination, When that's your job, as a man, even Christian men struggle not to find their ultimate meaning in their jobs, right? Let alone secular ones. That's your identity. That's your worth. That's your calling. And something comes along to take that away from you. Isn't the natural human inclination to be, no, I'm not buying that because I don't want to give up. That's my idol in a way, right?
Right.
I don't want to give that up. Who's Dennis Dodd if I'm not a superior nationwide college football writer? Who am I? Instead, he willingly gave it up. Instead, he couldn't give it up fast enough. Instead, he was like, wow, what a shinier, more impressive idol. Let me clutch this one instead. And I do think that's new. I think it's certainly, if there's other moments in human history where the populace desired oppression, desired it for fame of an apocalypse, it's not the normal human inclination. It certainly isn't in the Western tradition. I mean, the reason why the story of Superman's origin, where his father Jor-El brings to the elders that the planet of Krypton's going to blow up and they don't want to listen, the reason that resonates is because that's how we typically respond, right?
Right.
I don't want to give my life up. I'm complacent at my leisure. I like technology. I like my life. I don't want to just hand all that up. No. We reverse the story. Now the scientist, Jor-El, ran the test and the planet's fine. Hey, maybe some minor adjustments here or there, and I think we're going to be okay. But the elders of Krypton are like, no, this thing's going to blow up now. And now they want to run Jor-El out of town because he won't tell them that the planet will blow up. That's what we did with this. And listening to Dennis Dodd talk about this on this podcast this morning just hammered this point that you just made home. We should have, the natural, particularly male instinct, is to have to lock that guy in a room so he doesn't just get out and try to violate every COVID order to go to every game anyway, right? Nope. No, he's got to be begged and cajoled to come back out. That ain't the way this works. And if in our flesh and humanity, we are at that level of automatic compliance, I take pride in my conformity, then let me quote from you the great prophet Loki. You were made to be ruled, and you will be.
I'm going to ask the final fake news or not now, and I don't want you to answer. And then we're going to go through the seven planks of what a cult is with you.
Okay.
And then we're going to answer the final one.
Okay.
Fake news or not, Steve, cults can't be tolerated. They must be marginalized at the very least, if not terminated altogether. Remember that, because we want to define now what is a cult, mm-hmm. and then be dead serious about what we need to do with it. You had seven planks, Steve. Fake news or not. You might be a cult if you discourage, if not outright oppose, critical thinking. And I want you to answer these in light of... this book came out when, Steve?
End of March.
Okay, we are now in the
middle... March 26th.
We are now in the middle of the July. We kind of wrote this at the tail end of people getting back to their lives. Mm-hmm. So everything that's gone on between then and now... only reinforces what a cult is, that mm-hmm. it's full on this now. So yes. Answer that question in light of new examples that we wouldn't have had. Steve, fake news or not, cults discourage, if not outright oppose, critical thinking.
Absolutely true. The reason why that's listed number one in the book is that is a number one universal context. In the Jehovah's Witnesses, you can't study, don't study the Bible on your own. Go to Kingdom Hall three times and have somebody properly interpret it for you. And it must be a specific translation handpicked by their founder. All right. That's an example of what we mean. Okay. That you can't be trusted to think on your own because eventually you might outthink them. So they need to think for you.
So what's today's most absurd example in the news cycle this week about where critical thinking is not allowed by Fauci or another?
The conversation we were just having about the vaccinations. It starts from a position of compliance, not informing.
How about Leanna Wen?
That would be another one.
Yeah.
Okay. She's the former head of Planned Parenthood. They ran her out of there because she wasn't pro baby killing enough. And now she thinks her job is to make life tougher on you for not agreeing to an injection that we really don't know yet what its true efficacy or danger is yet.
Steve, fake news or not, you might be in a cult if cults isolate themselves and their members from the outside world, sometimes even forcibly.
Indeed, Jesus tells his followers, you are in the world, but not of it. But I send you out into that world. I want you to mingle. I want you to marinate. I want you to spread this message. All right. Look at the way that the spirit of the age operates. Don't have a vaccine. Separate that person. Don't want to get a positive test. Separate that person. We isolate from people that are different than us, lesser than us, that we are superior than. Yes. True news.
How about Bubba Watson?
So here's a guy who's fully vaccinated.
Yes, this is
still has a breakthrough infection. He has a molecular level PCR test that confirms his infection. All right, so he's fully vaccinated, gets COVID, test positive anyway, but can't travel to the British Open this weekend because he's fully vaccinated and still tested positive.
Steve, fake news or not, you might be in a cult if you claim to have special knowledge or that only the special can attain such knowledge.
That's right. The idea that there's a special book, a special incantation, that there's something new that hasn't been thought of yet that we've come up with, that we've got a new spin. Hey, a guy comes along thousands of years or hundreds of years after your movement was originally followed or founded and has like a new spin on it. So follow this instead. Okay. Or occultic practices that from Gnostic traditions, these are all examples of without special kind of information, you just aren't one of the special people.
And aren't they doing that every time they basically talk about the latest variant scare? Because they're talking about, no, but ours goes up to 11. Most variants in the history of immunology, as we've said on this show, actually get weaker as a survival mechanism.
Yes.
They're just talking about somehow this is...
I'll give you an example from a non-COVID issue. The 1619 Project is an example of this. The idea that what you've read about history and everything yourself is not true. Here's some special knowledge you didn't know, which of course leaves out the fact that, for example, in the very first, the original draft of the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson and the founders specifically castigated slavery and blamed King George for exporting it to the colonies. And it was going to pass except from the votes by only two states, which meant the other 10 approved it. Okay. Like they leave these kinds of context and things out. All right. And replace it instead with a new knowledge, a special knowledge. 1619 Project, critical racist theory. These would all be examples of this aspect of cultic behavior.
Steve, fake news or not, you might be in a cult if you put your loyalty to your leader above all else.
No question. The fearless leader routine. I mold myself to follow somebody, even when it opposes specifically my own conscience. That's what we saw, that level of dedication. Trust Fauci, all the trinkets that were sold last year, the songs, the videos, as if he was unassailable, as if he could not possibly ever have been incorrect about anything. And so I'll put my entire life into his hands. That's a blatant example of cultic behavior too.
And you've talked about if it wasn't for him, it would be somebody.
It would have just been somebody else.
That's important because with Donald Trump, whatever we thought about him, there was a unique set of qualities to him that were undeniable. With Fauci, is there anything unique about the man, which just goes to show the cultic power of him all the more?
Nope. Obviously takes good care of himself because he seems pretty spry for 80 years old. That's kind of a unique characteristic to him. Beyond that, though, the mindset he has is no different than the mindset of those who are spying on Tucker Carlson, who spied on Donald Trump, who ban you from your own Facebook page now. It's not that he's legion. He's legion.
Steve, fake news or not, you might be in a cult if you seek to detach yourself from your families.
Always cults isolate you from your family. Every single time. Every single time. Because why? What was the first instrument of governance, of human governance, God ever established on this earth? The family was. The family predates the church. The family predates the state. The family is the first form of institution of governance. Meaning the regulation of behavior, the passing on of tradition and custom. The family was the very first one. If we want to indoctrinate you into a new discipline, into a new morality, into a new new ideology and a new custom, we therefore have to separate you first and foremost from what? The institution that established your original ones. And so that's why they always seek to isolate you from your family every single time. And they'll tell you, they're your new family.
I'm going to ask the last two because we're pressed for time and then reset what I wanted and let you answer however you want to. Number six, it was cults cross moral boundaries and at times encourage others to as well. And number seven, cults separate you from the true church. So now we have all seven of those. So I ask you once again, knowing this is what a cult is, and we are being as sober-minded as possible and applying that term, and now we have a diagnostic. Steve, fake news or not, cults can't be tolerated. They must be marginalized at the very least, if not terminated altogether.
Absolutely true news. And the number one reason why is they won't tolerate you. That's why they come to your door. That's why they bother you at airports. They won't tolerate you. That's why. You may have all your own rules of engagement when you're up against an opponent that has their own and will do things their own way. Your rules of engagement become pretty obsolete at that particular point in time, don't they?
Right.
And I think that we have to mobilize to fight the enemy we have, not the enemy we prefer to have or think we have or are more comfortable with, but the enemy we actually have. That's why mockery, scorn, ridicule of the stupidity and of this foolishness should be wielded with reckless abandon. We should do verbal, intellectual version. That's what. Why did they tar and feather in the colonial era? Why did they do that? It was a metaphor. It was a symbol for this is so rotten, so dumb, so beneath us. Such a petty, ridiculous level of tyranny. You're insulting us by thinking you could even impose this on this community. and we're going to make an example out of you. That's why they did it. We should be doing that verbally and philosophically with these sorts of ideologies. Merciless tar and feathering of scorn and mockery of their foolishness. People wouldn't dare think to admit out loud, wow, I believe really stupid crap like that. No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't, let alone introduce rainbow butt monkey dildo man to your local library like we saw at the top of the program today. Right?
Right.
That's number one. Number two, you have to go into the arena. See, this is one of the things that sets Tucker apart from a lot of his peers at Fox. They're aimed at a lot of the same targets he is. And when I'm comparing Tucker, I'm comparing him to the rest of the weekday primetime lineup. I know they've got some good radicals on there, like our colleague Mark Levin, our former colleague Dan Bongino, but they put all those guys on the weekends. I'm talking about who they put on when the audience is the biggest during the week. Tucker is like Klingons. He doesn't take prisoners. Pretty much everybody else on there during the week, phasers are constantly on stun. Okay? In our world, in the digital world, the people that are, the people in our line of work that are ruled by the algorithm, their phasers are on stun. Here on our platform, I don't want to be ruled by the crap we just described, so we're not taking prisoners either. Because if it's not worthy of that level of conflict, then why are we wasting our time?
Exactly.
Let's just go enjoy whatever the fruits of and accoutrements of Americana and have a better life and have more friends. We would only do this if it was worthy of this level of conflict, right?
Yes.
If it wasn't worthy of this level of conflict, guys, I probably would have had a different career path. I would have kept doing sports talk radio, might have ended up back in my home state of Michigan getting paid covering the home teams for the last 20 years. I only gave up all those options and avenues and came into an arena which would grant me far fewer friends, because I came to the conclusion of what you just said. This is going to be a zero-sum game here. Either we're going to pimp slap the spirit of the age back to the pit of hell, or it's going to do that to us.
Right.
And there won't be an either or. It's going to it won't be an and also. It's going to be an either or. If it's not about that, then why are we doing any of this then? Because then it's just a sporting event,
yes.
Right? Well, aren't the other sporting events a lot more fun than this? And yeah. You make a lot fewer enemies, right?
Right.
I'd rather do those. Okay, if I wanted to reduce this to a sporting event, I'd have stayed in the platform and format I was. No, this is for real life. We're playing as the devil says to Ray in a nefarious carol, we're playing for real stakes here, Ray. Pop Culture Tuesday is next. So let's say there's even a modicum of a chance. What I said a little while ago could be right. I've been saying for a couple of months on the show, I'm just seeing some warning signs similar to what we saw in 2008. And then we had a massive financial sector crisis later in the fall as a result of those signs. And we're seeing some of those warning signs again. If that's the case, you never know, man. Now might be the ideal time to make your move in the real estate market before the next meltdown happens. But make sure you go in, though, with an agent you can trust, especially during these unprecedented times.
Bing.
Thank you. Where would you find such an agent? Well, the name kind of says it all. Head to this website. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is where you can go to get an agent who will come in, take charge of your situation, but then also remember that ultimately you're the one that's in charge. And they'll bring with them a fully verified and vetted track record of success as well. Just about anywhere in the country, we can probably connect you to one of these, a real estate agent you can trust at RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Again, that's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. All right, let's get to Pop Culture Tuesday. This is when we look at the intersection each week between what's going on in pop culture and conservatism. Let's talk about the latest from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Black Widow, a movie that was supposed to be out last May, had, of course, been delayed numerous times as a result of COVID, finally got its release over the weekend. I predicted on the Dace Group Friday that I thought it would have one of the four weakest openings of any Marvel film in the history of the content for a couple of reasons. One, it's anticlimactic. The character's already dead, right? In the meta storyline of the cinematic universe. Two, there's streaming options available. You could watch it for money on Disney Plus. And then three, maybe still a little hesitancy about going back to the theaters. The film did very well, and it didn't have one of the four worst openings, so I was wrong about that. It was, though, the fifth worst opening of any film that Marvel has opened so far. But when you look at what it did globally and via Disney Plus, they're saying it's well over $200 million. You've not had a chance to see this, correct?
Right.
All right, but Aaron, you have, right?
Correct, yeah.
All right, so we're going to make a quick review here, because I think the better conversation is where this whole thing is going. But we'll do this as spoiler-free as we can, although I don't know what we would spoil, Aaron, because there is no major cliffhanger here. There's nothing you're like, oh, wow. It just basically tells you about a side mission that Natasha Romanoff did between the events of Thanos arriving on Earth and Captain America Civil War, okay? That just tells that story, and you learn more about her backstory. And, I mean, it's okay. Some of the action's really good. Marvel, again, takes one of its classic villains, this time Taskmaster, completely retcons its origin and just deviates totally from its own subject matter. You know that has been, if that's like my one consistent singular complaint, is they have done this with numerous villains over the years, and now this is the latest one with Taskmaster. Even the big reveal of who that really is, I won't spoil it, doesn't really, you're not like, you know, nothing like that at all. The after credit scene doesn't really move the overall narrative of the universe much further. It basically sets up the, I won't spoil it, but it basically sets up the Hawkeye series on Disney Plus, or at least an element of it. I will tell you, though, I thought the first act, Aaron, was really good. I loved the opening credits. The haunting version they did of Smells Like Teen Spirit. Mm-hmm. That might be the best opening credits I've seen in a Marvel movie yet. I mean, that was really, really well done. And I kind of thought about halfway through the film, I think this is going to be a lot better than I thought it was going to be. But then when she reconnects with her Russian, you know, staged family and everything else, from that time forward, the villain, the main villain of the movie, who runs the Red Room and all that stuff, I actually thought the second half was pretty weak. I thought the first half was really good. The second half was really weak. And I'll also say this. I think I got her name wrong on my social media. It's Florence Pugh.
Florence, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She steals every scene she's in, including the scene she's in with Scarlett Johansson. Like, I mean, like, visibly outshines her from an acting and standpoint. I mean, I thought she stole every scene she was in. And if they're going to go with the storyline that she's going to replace her sister at some point in the MCU, which seems likely, and people were already speculating on this anyway, listen, Florence Pugh is not terrible to look at. She's no Scarlett Johansson, but few women on this planet, frankly, are. But from in terms of charisma in front of the camera, I thought she kind of blew her away, frankly. But what was your overall review?
So I went in this not really knowing what to expect, but not expecting much. It's one thing when you have a prequel that you're not really familiar with where the proceeding events or the events after whatever the prequel is to. You're not really sure what led up to that, but in this case we are. You know, we have an entire Avengers Initiative storyline to build upon. So I went in with pretty low expectations as far as a story, an overall narrative. I thought it was good as a standalone film, not necessarily as part of some overarching narrative. I actually thought both halves were pretty equal in terms of their quality.
Okay.
I thought the big reveal, actually, of where the main objective lies for the movie was pretty amazing. Actually, I was not familiar with this story in the comics. It was pretty creepy and pretty amazing at the same time. The villain, though, was a little meh. He wasn't, you know, he didn't seem overbearing whatsoever. I will say, though, there is a theme that is kind of a repeat in some ways of WandaVision. there is a theme of just abject grief about these two sisters. They're not able to lead normal lives as you would expect or hope to lead, you know, maybe as a woman. And the theme of grief there, kind of along the lines of what Wanda Maximoff shows in WandaVision. I thought that was a positive as well, but overall, didn't really go in with high expectations. Thought it was a good standalone movie, standalone being the operative word there.
Yeah, you make good points I hadn't thought about, especially that last one you made. I'm still at the point, though, that the film to me afterwards was just kind of meh.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
it's not terrible. It's just like I went, you know what? It's a summer day. I went to Menchie's. I loaded up at the ice cream bar. But like an hour and a half later, I forgot what I just had.
See,
okay,
I'll put it this way. I'm not probably going to watch this within the next watch through of the MCU.
All right. I want to talk about where we think the MCU is going here in a second. But first, we've been telling you about Rough Greens for quite a while here on the show. It's that powder with the full of the vitamins, minerals, nutrients likely missing from your pet's food because they strip that out of your dog's food at the store before it gets to the store like they do. With our people food. That's why we buy so many supplements nowadays. That's why your pet could use one as well. And Rough Greens is that supplement. But you may be wondering, hey, if I mix this in with my pet's food, will my pet still like the food that they're eating? Maybe they won't take to it. Well, let's find out. And we'll do it on our dime. Rough Greens will give you that first 14-day jumpstart bag for free. You pay a couple bucks for the shipping, but the bag is free right now to see if you don't see a difference in your pet in 2 weeks or less when you go to roughgreens.com. That's R-U-F-F. That's how they spell it over there. Roughgreens.com. Call them at 833-ROUGH-DOG if that's simpler for you. 833-ROUGH-DOG or roughgreens.com. Again, get that first 14-day jumpstart bag loaded with all those vitamins, minerals, nutrients. Our dog Cap loves this stuff. Maybe your dog will or won't. Here's how you find out. Get the bag for free. Just pay for the shipping at roughgreens.com. All right, the overall narrative of the MCU. So now you can join this part of the conversation.
I'm in.
Loki's finale debuts tomorrow, so it's coming out this week. And I get the sense that it is going to introduce either that there is a multiverse or that it's been hidden from us in some way, that it's doing something that's going to push the overall story narrative forward, okay? But doesn't it seem as if so far nothing the MCU has offered has done that? It has pushed character arcs forward, right? Okay, so we saw Falcon become Captain America. We saw Wanda Maximoff finally become the full-fledged Scarlet Witch from the comic books. We're getting more backstory on Natasha Romanoff through Black Widow and kind of what makes her tick. We found out how the world overall recovered post blip and you know, post Infinity War and Endgame and Spider-Man Far From Home, right? The second movie. But that's what, two movies now, and this is going to be three TV shows. Do you guys have any idea? Like, very first post credit scene, Iron Man 1, Nick Fury shows up with the Avengers Initiative file. Right? Is it the end of Captain America where they go out in the New Mexico desert and there's Thor's hammer? Like, you could see over the course of years where this is building to, okay? Do you guys have any clue where this is going?
No, and I'm glad you bring up the end credit scene because this is a group that never would let anything go to waste. They would use those to do that. Mm-hmm. So you thought it was automatic that they would use entire shows to do that, but I don't know. Now this, she was in a ton of movies in and of herself, but now this Black Widow thing just seems like she never got her own. Let's give her one. I honestly don't expect any big reveal at the end of Loki based on what they're doing. I think they just had guys they felt they had to make, maybe like make goods, and we can do some creative writing in here. None of it's been bad, but they just don't seem like this is not the time, and trust us and we'll get to it sooner or later. I mean, I thought that as great as WandaVision was, I thought that was a missed opportunity, because if you open up the door then with all the other shows, you can keep riffing off of that. The big one could have been once right out of that. And then they wouldn't have even had to add much in the other ones. They're just choosing not to do it, whatever their reasons are. But I don't think we're going to see anything serious out of Loki.
Aaron, is it possible that they're not doing it on purpose, thinking we could never possibly pull off what we just did as good or better ever again? So let's just tell, you know, connected but largely individualized stories that at points and times in the future, teams and people will intersect, but it's not really heading to some new meta narrative like we saw the first go around.
I think they're biding some time right now. I mean, in the universe of the MCU, if you, you know, they had a way of making the fantastic, obviously, the fantastic believable. Like, every couple of years, the Earth was under some intergalactic threat. You know, I'm overstating it there. I think this is kind of a way to bide time and make the timeline seem a little bit more realistic. I don't want to say this. It could be that, because I don't really see... It's the same thing I said about WandaVision up until the last episode. The writers of some of these episodes and some of these shows, and definitely the movies as well, just have this like fetish for Easter eggs and intricate details and dropping hints and things like that and foreshadowing. They have this fetish for telling really, really good formulaic stories. I don't really see Kevin Feige. He's still the one running it,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
I don't really see him. I don't really see him just letting this go and just letting this essentially become a cash cow, because that's maybe not the main intent, but that's the effect of what this will be. So I still think that there will be something along the lines of another overall narrative and story arc that can definitely be done. And we've talked about who the next big villain might be. But I think it's good to let things kind of marinate and simmer for just a little bit longer. And who knows, in the things that we've seen so far, maybe they are dropping hints that we just have no clue about. But I'm a little bit dubious about that.
Here's one thing. Like Loki, I know he saw his whole future and that changed mm-hmm. him. But like the last episode is five. Like, I thought... it's getting a little sugary. I mean, now this is just Loki's just the after school special character. I mean, I'm a little worried, to be completely honest.
I wonder if it may be many, many years before they go down the road of a coordinated mass event, just because how could you do better? How could you top what they just did? And so maybe the way you do that is you don't try. You just you do more character individualized or individually oriented stories instead. I don't know. Or maybe they don't know where they want this to go yet. That's a possibility too. Hey, we've been warning you about home title theft for quite a while here on the show. This is where cyber thieves use personal information that they can get from something like, say, your Facebook page, a maiden name, an address, you know, the high school you graduated from, the kinds of things that we use to identify ourselves if we like lost our password and verified who we were. And so they can get that from things like a Facebook data breach, which just happened, by the way, with 500 million accounts, names, addresses, that kind of personal information. And then go online where your home's title is kept, log in as you, make it look like you sold your home to them via a quick claim deed. And before you know it, you're out of your home and all of that equity. Don't let that happen to you. And that's what our friends at Home Title Lock do. In fact, that's all they do, is make sure that that doesn't happen to you. And right now you can get 30 free days of protection during this high-risk Facebook breach. Maybe if they were more concerned about protecting their data than they were censoring truthful information, things like this would not happen. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code radio to get 30 free days of protection. Promo code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. Again, that's HomeTitleLock.com. All right. Final thoughts. What did we learn here today, gentlemen?
I want to go back to the conversation we had just last half hour in talking about the Branch Covidian cult and having a very intentional conversation about that. Todd, is there a reason why you say, why your little moniker is progressivism is cancer? Why isn't it progressivism is chickenpox? Why isn't it progressivism is E. coli? Why is it progressivism is cancer?
Because it's a death sentence. It's unambiguous. It's the same reason why I wanted to get to what is a cult. It's not just a word. It's an actual thing, and it's not value neutral. And what do we do with it? Cancer. Listen, when it killed my mom. So it wasn't going to be any other way unless there were very severe interventions. And even maybe then. That's why I say it.
Unless you cut it out.
Hmm.
If there's still time.
That'll do it for today's program. We're back at it again tomorrow, noon to 2 Eastern, right after Hall of Famer Glenn Beck here on Blaze TV. Until then, John 3:17.
This is Steve Dace
on the Blaze Radio Network.